Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking up. Always waiting for something good to find. Tell you when you got a made up mind. Even the winter feels like summertime. In the night to see the light of day. Cause I've been blind for way too long. And you can't take my light away. Even though all my times I'm happy times, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace. So knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way up. Said I believe. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking up, yeah. Always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep it walking on. Walking shoes,
step two, step two, step three. Step one, step two, step three.
Walk in shoes.
Thy word's the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walk in shoes, walk in shoes.
Walk into a promise. Walk into a better land.
Said I believe, I believe. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking up.
Degrees. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Yahweh. Yahweh, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Yahweh, shouldest mark iniquities, O Yahweh, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for Yahweh. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for Yahweh more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Yisrael hope in Yahweh, for with Yahweh there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Yisrael from all his iniquities. And for those members of the congregation who may recognize it, those who may not, it's a song that we sing, Psalm 130. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto you, O Heavenly Father. We thank you for the plenteous blessings that you have bestowed upon us, Father. Those things that we openly recognize, and Father, some of those things, Father, that we pay no attention to, but you are faithful. In particular, Father, a healthy, beating heart, lungs that function, a mind that works, a body that works, even though there may be some bruises, there may be some scars, there may be some infirmities within it, Father. But those things, Father, which are solely and surely in your hands, Father, that we don't think about on a daily basis, Father, we thank you, Father, for taking care of those things and allowing us to have your precious breath of life this day, Father. We thank you for that, Father. We are grateful, Father, for you giving us that. Something probably that we don't even deserve, Father. But in your mercies, you have allowed us to have the breath of life this day. Tod rabbah, Abba, for that. Father, look down upon us with mercy. Look down upon us with grace, kindness, and thank you for being long-suffering with us, Father. Thank you, Father, for preserving us unto this moment, Father. Father, I pray for all my brothers, my sisters, the Emas, the Abbas, the Zakanes, the Zakanas, Father, who may be going through different afflictions mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, Father, that you give them the patience to endure. You give them the mind and the heart of Brother Job, Father, through the many afflictions that he suffered, Father. That as the old adage goes, give them the patience of Job, Father. Father, thank you for being patient with us, Father, and showing mercy and kindness unto us, Father, even though oftentimes we don't deserve it, Father. But Father, you are merciful, and you have given us your son, Yahushua, to redeem us from our sins, Father, to cleanse us and make us white with his precious blood, Father. We are grateful for that, Father. We are grateful for all that you have given us, Father, great and small. This beautiful day, beautiful sunny day, even though it is frigid outside, Father, we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the lives of our loved ones, Father. We thank you for the health of our loved ones, Father. And Father, we just ask now, Father, that your spirit be with us this Shabbat day, or rather continue to be with us this Shabbat day, Father, and that you open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your words, to be worthy vessels to receive your word this morning, Father. These things, Father, I ask you on behalf of all my brothers and sisters, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch Atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. And I'm going to ask my family in advance for forgiveness, because I am suffering with some nasal issues this morning. And I know if I sound stuffy to myself, I may be sounding stuffy to you also. If I am sounding a little off, family, that's because I am today. So forgive me for that. I'm going to read another psalm, family, another one that those members of Beth Yahweh congregation in Baltimore, Maryland are familiar with. Song of Degrees. Yahweh, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters and in those too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself. And as a child that is weaned of its mother, my soul is even as a weaned child. Let Yisrael hope in Yahweh from henceforth and forever. And that's Psalms 131, family. And before I begin and get to yammering, this is your brother Ahab All with Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And this is the sixth week and the final week in my series this season of Study to Show Thyself Approved unto Yahweh, a workman to be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the title of today's lesson is Be Patient with Yahweh. And as I depart from you all after this six-week session, and hopefully by Yahweh's permission, he will allow me life to see you all in another 6 weeks after my brother Deuel and my brother Ariel start their lesson. I pray that Abba fill them up with his words so that they can be the vessels of light that they have been in their teachings, and to bring forth, as Yahweh see fit, his word through my to my brothers that are coming up next. Hallelujah. So, family, I want to focus on Psalms 131:3, where it says, let Yisrael hope in Yahweh. And let's take a look at that word, hope. And it's Hebrews, in the Hebrew section of your lexicon. And just a reminder to my, as my brother often does, as he did last night, to remind you to get your study tools. I often fail to do that, to remind everyone to get their study tools. But I am going to remind everyone to have your study tools, your e-Bibles, your e-sword, or whatever you may have. Or if you choose to go old school and have the good old Strong's Concordance and the paperback Bible, ain't nothing wrong with that. So that word, family, for hope is Hebrews 31:76, and it's yachal. And it's a primitive root, and that is to wait. By implication, to be patient. Hope, cause to have, make to have hope, be pained, stay, tarry, trust, wait. But I like the fact that it says, be patient, let Yisrael be patient with Yahweh. Because one of the things that we see in the scriptures in Revelation 14:12, it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahushua HaMashiach. So one of the things that he, as we move into the book of Revelation, because that's where we're going to next. And, you know, and I shared this with my brother / colleague at work, you know, that I've always felt that, and we're seeing the evidence of it, as we, that once we get to the book of Revelation, as we progress through that book and learn, and, you know, we were admonished by our spiritual leader to take our time and not rush through the book of Revelation. And I'm glad he gave us that admonishment, because I personally feel, and this is just me personally feel, that once we hit that last chapter and that last verse is when we're really going to see things start to unfold in this world. And I'm excited, but at the same time, I'm of course, I'm flesh. I'm a human being. I'm wary about what is to come or what is to take place in this world, even though I have hope that there will be a better and brighter day, because at the end of the day, you know, Yahweh wins. But he also talks about that tribulation, and that we're going to experience tribulation. And for years, we were always told that troublous times are coming. And, you know, this is the thing that we have to be mentally, spiritually, and I'm not even going to say physical and emotionally, I'm not even going to say physically prepared for, because at the end of the day, we war not against flesh and blood, but principalities and power and the powers of darkness in high places. This war that we're going to get into, this battle that's going to be taking place, yes, it's going to be in this physical world. It's going to be on the physical plane, but the battle is going to be for the battle of our souls. And how do you get to somebody's soul? You must infiltrate and take command of their mind and their thoughts, which are in turn going to affect their emotions, and emotions affect your decision-making. And one of the things that we have to be prepared for, we have to be firm on, is where we are emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Because that's where the difference is going to be made in this fight. This ain't it's not a physical fight. And, you know, my sister sent out a video this week. And normally, you know, by the time I get to checking my phone, you know, I'm so lost because, you know, the threads are all messed up on my phone. No matter what I've done, I can't seem to be on the same thread with everybody. And I've tried. I've seriously tried. So, you know, without me actually bringing it to my Apple Tech children, you know, I just said, you know, forget it. You know, so oftentimes, you know, I don't even get to my phone. I fast from my phone. I'll be very honest. I fast from my phone throughout periods of the day, throughout periods of the week, because I just need a mental break. I got enough going on, and I just is part of my self-care, as they say nowadays, right? But I just so happened to be had my phone in my hand when, you know, something popped up, and it was a video.
from my sister Malkin. I looked at the video and I couldn't see it, but I could hear what was going on. I heard the words. So I wanted to, you know, see the actual video. I went and I looked for the video on YouTube. And it was about a person who talked to my brothers this week. We saw somebody on live TV, or people saw it. And she, this artist has a tremendous following, And in the midst of the conversation, she like glitched out and got possessed. And first she started asking about somebody. Then, hey, how's your baby? And then in the midst of it, you see her zone out for like a quick second. And then come back in, you see her head turned to the left, and it turned to the right, and it came back to the left. And she said, I hate humans. Humans I hate. And it was like, wow. And went right back into the middle of the conversation like nothing ever happened. Like she just didn't say, you know, in the midst of asking somebody about their baby, I hate humans, humans I hate. And you saw that that person wasn't there for those 3 to 5 seconds. Gone. Gone. Now, I've heard other people say, oh, well, she's a bot. She's all this. She's a clone. Nah, man. She got possessed. Period. Point blank. We saw in live TV, on a live stream, rather, that this sister, who is one of the most influential female artists, who stated within, and I watched the entire video, I don't want it, just to find that snippet, and I'm not suggesting anybody do, because you will need to floss your ears out, bleach your ears out, and not just to mention that, your eyes and your mind from all the wickedness you're going to hear and see in the midst of that video. She said that she makes music, and I'm going to use the Hebrew term for it, as my sister Eliora had taught me a while back. She makes music for Baal Peor. And if you know anything about, and I had to learn, and I learned this from my sister, that Peor was the pole. Okay, and we know what poles are used for in these modern days among poor ladies in the community. And it's not just among African-Americans or Latinos or, you know, people who are of necessarily one particular color. No, this is a very popular thing for women to do nowadays to make their money. Very popular thing for them to do, and a very lucrative thing at this point. But this isn't nothing that is new. This is something that has been going on at this point for millennia. This is all part of that Ashtoreth worship. This is all part of Easter worship, those Easter rites. So this ain't nothing new that they're doing. It's just being brought more to light now, that because we have become so licentious and we're into such lasciviousness, that now that anything goes, that what would once have been something very hidden and undercover, man, that's mainstream media. That's a thing for you. Go, girl. Yeah, boo, you do that thing. As long as you bring that money home to me. Brothers and women of all shapes and sizes are good with it. Athletes are into it. Celebrities are into it. As a matter of fact, if you're an athlete or a celebrity and you're not into it, so whether you're married or not, you're looked upon as something's wrong with you. You're a weirdo. But anyway, not to get off too much into that, but one of the things is to be mindful of these people who we allow to have sway over our minds. And don't think just because it's her that she's unique to it. We saw the spiritual breakdown of another popular celebrity. So the point I'm making is be very careful of the influences that we are allowing into our minds. And to me, that was proof positive. It looked like just like in the Matrix, when one of the agents would possess somebody, you just see them, and before you know it, that agent has control over their whole being. Actually, in all actuality, what happens is that person that the agent took over, now that agent was the visage and everything of that person. Talking about the Matrix. You know, a popular movie if you haven't seen it or haven't heard of it. But that's what would happen. The agent took that person over, and that person was no longer themselves, but they were the agent at that point. You saw that happen on live stream. And the other part that struck me the most about it was nobody, and she had all kinds of people streaming on the live stream, nobody noticed that it happened, except one person was like, what? So out of all the people that were following on her live stream, nobody paid attention to that. It just blew over everybody's head. But that's where we are these days. And don't think for one second just because we are believers that it cannot happen to us. As a matter of fact, if you don't believe me, let's look at an example in the Word where it happened in the Word. Matter of fact, yeah, let's take a gander at that real quick. Matthew 16 and 21. And we know this story. From the time forth began Yahushua to show unto his disciples how they, that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things. So now he's illustrating to them, look, this is what I'm about to go through. This is the purpose of me being here. I have to, at some point, even though I've been ducking in this out, and because it wasn't my hour, it wasn't my time, eventually I've got to make my way to Jerusalem. I've got to fulfill the purpose that I have been sent here to do. So it says, 16:21. From the, and forgive me, man, my nose is all jacked up right now. From the time forth began Yahushua to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. So he's letting them know, they're going to do some things to me, but at the end of the day, I win. I am going to resurrect in 3 days. 16:22, then Peter, Kepha, took him and began to rebuke him. Now understand what is happening here. It says he took him. He grabbed hold of him. You know, like somebody grabs hold of somebody and they kind of shake him. So he grabbed hold of him and said, and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, master. This should not be unto thee. So now he's letting him know, first of all, this is the divine will. This is the divine purpose that I came into this world to fulfill. So what got into Peter at that moment for him to shake him and tell him and rebuke the words that is coming out of the master's mouth? But we see right here in 16:23, but he turned Yahushua and said unto Peter, Kepha, get thee behind me, opponent, Satan, thou art an offense to me. Why? Because at that point, he entered into him and tried to tell him, no, don't do it. You think that was just Kepha? You think that was just Peter? No. And Peter was, in modern day terms, his man. That's his homeboy. Of all the disciples, of all the apostles that we read about, Peter is the only one who we have on record. He spent time at his house, ate at his house, slept on his couch, was familiar with his entire family. He hung out with Peter. As they said, he banged him. That was his dude. And Yahushua was Peter's dude too. He loved him. He cared about him. But he had a lapse in his thinking. He let his emotions get wide open. And as a result, the adversary, the opponent, Hasatan, was able to move in on him that fast and try to get him not to do the will of the Father. Because that's what Peter said to him. I rebuke you. No, ain't no way you're going to go to Jerusalem. I would never allow you to. No way that's going to happen to you. But he turned and said unto Kepha, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of Yah, but those that be of men. So again, you know, don't think, don't welcome these things and be very mindful of these things that we are allowing to enter into our thoughts, into our psyche. It's not that innocent many of the times. So anyway, so today's lesson, be patient with Yahweh. And let me get to my and this is the verse that I'm using is coming from the 39th chapter of Sirach, and I believe it's Sirach. What did I say? Sirach. Sirach. Sirach, which is in the Apocrypha. If you don't have it, family, please forgive me. If you do have Eastward, which is on as an iPhone app or Apple app, it's under the WEBA. You could download it real quick. Or if not, as my brother mentioned last night, you could Google it and pull it up to follow along, because I'm going to do some reading from Sirach. But Sirach 39:16 reads, all the works of Yahweh are exceedingly good, and every command shall be accomplished in his season. And later on, we're going to go through the entire verse so that we can see exactly what the mindset is and the thought is and the intent of what the 39th chapter of Sirach is about, okay? But for a moment, walk with me, family. We're going to read from Romans, the 5th chapter, starting at verse 1. So Romans 5, starting at verse 1. It says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with Yah through our master, Yahushua HaMashiach, through whom we also have our access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of Yah. Not only this, we also rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope, and I'm still reading from the WEBA family, and hope doesn't disappoint us because Yah's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Ruach HaKodesh, who was given to us. For while we were yet weak, as a matter of fact, I'm switching to the King James Version. Forgive me. I'm going back and I'm switching to the King James because I like how the King James Version reads better. We're more familiar with the King James Version of it. Forgive me. I'm going back to one. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace in Yah through the Master, Yahushua HaMashiach, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of Yah. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation, patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. So what is he saying? The more you go through trials, the more it should strengthen you. The more I will put you through trials, the more it should give you understanding on why you're going through these trials and the fact that he's going to bring you through these trials. But one of the things that he's asking us for is patience. And now I want to go back to Revelation 14:12 because I was supposed to go over patience and what that means in that verse. And again, family, Revelation 14:12. And understand this, and going into the Greek section and looking at patience, the patience of the saints. Here is the patience of the saints. 6:5, Greek 6:2, 5:2, 8:1. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not feeling well. And the word 6:5, Greek 5:2, 8:1, steadfastness, constancy, endurance. Patiently, steadfastly, a patient, steadfast, waiting for, a patient enduring, sustaining perseverance. And another thing I want to go back to, again, I told you my mind is a little messed up because I'm not feeling well at all today, but I want to do Yahweh's will. I want to get this word out to my family. And one of the things I believe, was it the BDB? The BDB? To wait, hope, expect, to tarry. So Abba wants us the same way he tarries with us. He wants us to tarry with him. He wants us to be patient with him. All right, going back to the book of Romans, 5th chapter, and again, I'm reading from the King James Version, starting 5. Five, four. And patient experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Yah is shed abroad in our hearts by the Ruach HaKodesh, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Moshiach died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, so now he's saying, there's not often that somebody's going to die for you. But he's letting us know Yahushua did that for us. So he said, for scarcely, 5:7, for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare die. But Yah commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Moshiach died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yah by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, 5:11, but we also joy in Yah through our master, Yahushua HaMashiach, by whom we have now received the atonement. Excuse me, family. Excuse me. So, Yahushua died for us. The question is now, are we willing to put ourselves aside and die for him? Because patience requires us killing a part of ourselves. Patience requires us setting our wants, our desires, our feelings, our issues, our tribulations. And that's another word opposite to look at. Forgive me, fam. Like I told you, I'm not. Bear with me. I'm going to need y'all patience with me today. Brother Ahav is only about 45%. And the word, which I thought was very important to understand for tribulation, is Greek 23:47. And forgive me, it's philipsis. Philipsis, right? This is what tribulation is, family. Again, Greek 23:47. A pressing together, pressure. And my brother and I, you know, used to always joke me when we used to play Madden. And I was on the pressure, he said, pressure bust pipes. But, you know, he knows how to end with under. Yeah, I love that pressure. Because at the end of the day, and I want to share something with y'all too that I went through this week. My brother actually witnessed me having a mini meltdown at work, my brother slash colleague now. So got a call from vice president. And, you know, my brother and I have been working on this very integral initiative within the institution and providing a service for them that has long been needed. You know, people have been anxiously anticipating, you know, this initiative going forth, and, you know, it ended up giving me funding in order to create this, and, you know, a lot of pressure's been on me to make sure that this thing not just happens, but is also a success. So, Yahweh blessed me to have a brother at my side to see this initiative go through, and I'm very grateful for that. So, got a call from our former vice president, who has since moved on, but, you know, still loosely report up to him. And he said, well, I'm about to go meet with the chief nursing officer. She wants to know, you know, what's going on with the wheelchairs. Why hasn't she seen it? I'm like, what? You know, I'm like, what do you mean she hasn't seen any? You know, let me get you on FaceTime and turn my camera around so you can see. At that point, you know, we had 20 of the devices sitting right there in the main lobby. So I'm like, what are you talking about? They're everywhere at this point. You know, my colleague has been very vigilant in making sure that we are well supplied to the point where it's like, sometimes it looks like we went from famine to feast. So I'm like, you know, it got under my skin. I got into my feelings, you know, and venting to my brother. Well, that don't bother me, you know. Basically saying, don't let it bother you. You know, it was this kind way of saying, don't let that bother you. But I felt like, and again, got in my feelings. It was a shot at my integrity. And furthermore, I was like, well, wait a minute. Now, if you came out and checked things out, you would see that this has been going very well. So, you know, took some pictures, sent it to the VP and said, you know, please, you know, if you want, come up and we'll take a tour and, you know, we'll see. So caused me to lose a little bit of sleep. But I get a call the next morning about 7:00 in the morning. And my brother says, guess who I just ran into? And I'm like, no, who you ran into? He said, I just ran into so-and-so. Told me her name. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, we had a good conversation. She asked me this, then I explained to her what we were doing, the progress we were making, and how well it's been being received and all that. And before you know it, that mini meltdown I had end up, the executive sent a email to the director, which, you know, shared with my brother and was like, you know, had a good encounter with him. And, you know, he explained to me everything that they've been doing and all that's been going on. And you know, I'm very happy to see what's been happening. And he's a great guy, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow. You know, and I was immediately convicted because my brother was like, man, calm down. Ain't that serious? But my mind took it past 100, 110 because I felt like, well, daggone, you know, we out here working, grinding, making sure everybody's happy. You're going to tell me you ain't seeing it? But Yahweh is good because if I was patient and had just stayed in my lane and just kept calm, it would have happened. So I was a little convicted by that taking place. And, you know, hallelujah, I still got a lot to learn, as my brother said last night. I'm still a work in progress. And as much as I've been preaching, you know, think about what you're thinking about, be aware, be self-aware, all that stuff. Well, guess what? I still ain't self-aware enough. I still get caught up in my emotions. And it was proof positive. And I was like, see, if you just exercise some patience, just falling back and just, you know, let it ride. But I had to learn. And hallelujah, I'm still learning. So anyway, so when you look at tribulation, Abba wants us at times to be under pressure, because he wants to see how we're going to react under these pressure situations, regardless of what the circumstances may be in our life. It may be something as minor as what I went through, or it may be as major as something as life or death, you know. But he wants to see at times how we're going to react, because the tribulation, as he said, worketh patience, patience, experience, experience, patience, and then to hope. Next is James 1, Brother James. And then my brother says, it reads, James 1:1 reads, James, a servant of Yah and of the Master Yahushua HaMashiach, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all as joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. And we're going to look at that word temptations and what that means. And it is the Greek 3986. And the word is peresimos, peresimos, right? And there's a whole lot to this definition. But again, an experiment. And I found that to be very, very interesting. An experiment. And when I think about the term experiment, and we are the clay in the potter's hand, well, what did he do with Job? Job was, he was given a challenge. I could get Job to curse you to your face. Oh, really now? All right. I'm going to put him under so much pressure. By the time he's done, he's going to all but hate you. And Yahweh said, bet, I got you. I'll take that. Because as a matter of fact, you could do almost anything you want with him, but you can't have his life. And he said, you got to take that hedge from around him. You got to take that protection from around him. And Yahweh said, okay, I got you. I'll take the protection from around him. I'll let you do a lot of things to him, but you cannot take his life. I'm not going to give his life into your hands. But Yahweh knew exactly the nature of the man that was in Job. And we know how it all ended up panning out. At the end, he said, I thought I knew you, Ab, but now I know you. Why? Because I just went through this experience with you. And not just, and you read the entirety of the book of Job, it wasn't just with Yahweh. He had to go through it with older men, younger men, all these men that came to give him counsel. And he had to have some deliberation with Yahweh himself. And Yahweh had to tell him, man, hold up, bro. Who hung the belt of Orion up in the heavens? Those three stars that you see in that constellation, who you think hung them up there? How you gonna school me on what I do? You're my vessel. You're my creation. And sometimes I got to see what's going on inside. No, I know what's going inside you, but I've got to bring out so you can see what's going inside you. That's why he does it. Not because of, yes, for his benefit, because he wants at the end of the day, you know what he wants to be able to say to us at the end of the day? Well done, my good and faithful servant. But in order to get that, well done, my good and faithful servant, we got to experience some things. We got to go through some hardships. We got to go through some loss. We got to go through some pains. We got to go through some trials. And not just physical trials, not just some mental, emotional, and spiritual trials. Those are the ones that are the most agonizing. But again, the word periasmos. An experiment, attempt, trial, proving, a trial, proving the trial made of you by my bodily condition, since condition served as a test, the love of the Galatians towards Paul. The trials, 1b, the trials of a man's fidelity, integrity, virtue, constancy, an enticement to sin, temptation, whether arising from the desires or from the outward circumstance. Because sometimes, Yahweh got to bring these things out. You see where you at. See, what you got going on inside of you? What are your real desires? Is your desire to really serve me, or is your desire to just benefit from me? Because, y'all, we got to know that. Are you good with me? You're good with me while I'm blessing you, but are you good with me when I pull my hand away from you and let you experience some things? You see, the good daddy that he is, once he sees us get up off of all fours and we start to wobble on them legs and we think that we got it sure and he lets our hands go a little bit, sometimes he's got to let us stumble and fall and scrape a knee, scrape an elbow, sometimes bust our head in order for us to understand and to get stronger. And in some instances, hot, hot, hot. Don't put your hand on that stove, baby. Gaga, Google what? Don't put your hand on that stove. Okay. And then one day, just by instant, by happenstance, they go past and they say, well, let me see if what daddy's saying is, you say, hot, 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 don't touch, hot, hot, hot. And the baby still goes and says, hot, psh, ah, ah, hot, hot. And they understand from that point on, hot hurts, hot things, and I should listen to daddy when daddy says, don't touch, hot, 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 or mommy, don't touch, hot, hot, hot. And one thing's for sure, two things for certain after that, baby knows what hot means from getting that precious, soft, supple little baby hand burnt red. But guaranteed one thing's for sure, that it's one, ingrained in their psyche forever, and two, they won't touch that stove again. Because they know that hot brings pain. So anyway, again, 1B2, an internal temptation to sin. 1B2A, and I'm going to read through a few of them. Of the temptation by which Hasatan, the opponent, sought to divert Yahushua HaMashiach from his divine errand. See, I was going to put the warrior song today. One of the verses in the warrior song, you're a warrior fighting for your soul. One of the things, taken from the world above, brought down to this world, the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, the devil that lays within us, that sinful nature, that taint that we have on our souls, oftentimes it tries to make us forget we have a job to do. That's not just Satan's desire. That's also what we have within us. Because at the end of the day, who wants to be the outcast? Who wants to be the square, the L7, as they used to say? Nobody want to be that L7. Nobody wants to be the who, and understand what I'm saying when I, who wants to spend the entire Saturday just sitting in a room listening to the word of God? That's not our spirit. That's the spirit he placed within us. Friday night and Saturday is the funnest days of the week, where all the happening goes on, where all the getting gets down. So it takes discipline within the spirit to grow to that point where Friday night, spending it with Abba Yah, and Saturday, all day spending it with Abba Yah, is a joy. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Excuse me. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And he says that he doesn't mean wanting for physical possessions, but wanting for that spiritual fullness. This is why he allows us to hurt, to feel pain, to feel anguish, to be troubled within our mind, troubled within our spirit. And I'm the first one to be like, yo, why I'm going through this? Ah, but come on now. Why you don't put that dude that's down in the corner dealing that poison? Why don't you put him through that? Why don't you deal with some of these celebrities the way you're dealing with me? Why I got to go through this? Why I got to experience this? Well, you got all these heathens out there doing whatever they will, doing whatever they want. They ain't thinking about you. I at least think about you. Why I got to go through it? but it's for his divine will, his divine purpose that he has over my life that I don't understand, that I have no clue, no fathom about. But he knows what he's doing. Excuse me. Now we're going on to Sirach family. Sirach, chapter 39. And it reads, not so he that has applied his soul, not so he that has applied his soul and meditates in the Torah of the Most High, he will seek out the wisdom of all the ancients and will be occupied in prophecies. He will keep the discourse of the men of renown and will enter in amidst the subtleties of parables, those pithy maxims. He will seek out the hidden meaning of proverbs, those pithy maxims, and be conversant in the dark sayings of the parables. I wanted to know what that word conversant was, so I looked it up in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and the word, hold on, conversant, because I didn't want to just assume that it meant conversation, right? Conversant, and in the Merriam, having knowledge or experience used with, conversant with modern history and conversant with the operating system of a computer. So I used to be a computer person, and you can't just throw all those parts in there and expect them to work. You, matter of fact, when I was in my, I used to build PCs, right? And in the training class, the teacher said, all right, guys, don't just start connecting wires just because they look like they should go there. This dude connected one wire to one of the pieces on the motherboard, and that boy caught fire in the middle of the class. And he said, didn't I tell you guys not to just plug things in anywhere, but wait for my instructions? So, but he was trying to impart wisdom and knowledge unto us. So that's what conversant means. Having knowledge or experience, right? Archaic, having frequent or familiar association. So when it says that this person is conversant in the dark sayings of the parables, they're familiar. They got experience in it. But how are you going to get this experience if you're not patient, if you're not taking your time, if you're not putting the work in? So it says he's conversant with the dark sayings of parables. He will serve among great men and appear before him that rules. He will travel through the land of strange nations, for he has tried good things and evil among men. He will apply his heart to resort early to Yahweh that made him, and will make supplication before the Most High, and will open his mouth in prayer, and will make supplications for his sins. If the Master, Yahweh, will, he shall be filled with the spirit of understanding. In all thy getting, get understanding. Isn't that our, not mantra, they used to say, esprit de corps, isn't that what we live by in all your game? Just don't gobble up a whole bunch of verses. Understand those verses. That's the path that Yahweh has had us on now for, I believe, I know my brother Sheba L and Amara L know they got the minds to know how long we've been on this journey. But I want to say we've been on this journey over 10 years at this point. And now this journey is about to start coming to a close as we get into the book of Revelation. That's been a long time. 39:4, he will serve among great men and appear before him that rules. He will travel through the land of strange nations, for he has tried good things and evil among men. Aren't we in a strange nation? And it's getting stranger every day. Anyway, he will apply his heart to resort early to the Master that made him, and he will make supplications before the Most High, and will open his mouth in prayer, and will make supplications for his sins. If the great Master will, he shall be filled with the spirit of understanding. He shall pour forth the words of his wisdom and in prayer give thanks to Yahweh. He shall direct his counsel and knowledge, and in his secrets shall he meditate. He shall show forth the instructions which he has been taught, and shall glory in the Torah of the covenant of Yahweh. Many shall commend his understanding, and so long as the world endures, it shall not be blotted out. His memorial shall not depart, and his name shall live from generation to generation. Nations shall declare his wisdom, and the congregation shall tell out his praise. If he continue, he shall leave a great name. He'll leave a greater name than 1,000, and if he die, he adds thereto. Yet more I will utter, which I have thought upon, and I am filled as the moon at the full. Listen to me, you holy children, and bud forth as a rose growing by a brook of water, and give you a sweet savor as frankincense, and put forth flowers as a lily. Spread abroad a sweet smell, and sing a song of praise. Bless you, Yahweh, for all his works. Baruch atah Yahweh, for all his works. Magnify his name, and give utterance to his praise with the songs of your lips and with hearts. And thus shall you say, when you utter his praise, all the works of Yahweh are exceedingly good, and every command shall be accomplished in his season. None can say, what is this? Wherefore is that? For in his season, they shall all be sought out. And that doesn't mean you look for it. It means it's going to come to fruition. At his word, the water stood as a heap, and the receptacles of water as the word of his mouth. At his command, all his good pleasure done. And there is none that shall hinder his salvation. The works of all flesh are before him, and it is not possible to be hid from his eyes. Do we hear that? The works of all flesh are before him, and it is not possible to be hid from his eyes. He sees, 39:20, from everlasting to everlasting, and there is nothing wonderful before him. What wonders can flesh show Yahweh? None can say, what is this? Wherefore is that? For all things are created for their uses. You, me, we, them. Didn't he say in his word, he planted good seed, the enemy planted bad seed. He said, let them grow together until the end. And then he said, when my angels come and they put the sickle to them and make the harvest, the good ones, the wheat is going to go for sustenance. The tares are going to go into the barn, into the fire, not the barn. The wheat's going into the barn. So again, he says, 39:21, none can say what it is. Wherefore is that? For all things are created for their uses. His blessing, 39:22, covered the dry land as a river and saturated it as a flood. As he has turned the waters into saltness, so shall the heathen inherit his wrath. His ways are plain to the holy, so are they stumbling blocks to the wicked. Good things are created from the beginning for the good, so are evil things for sinners. The chief of all things necessary for the life of a man are water and fire and iron and salt, and flour of wheat and honey and milk, the blood of the grapes, the blood of the grape, and oil and clothing. All these things are for good to the godly. So to the sinners, they shall be turned into evil. There'll be winds that are created for vengeance, and in their fury. When he say that he has his angels holding back the four winds family, why? Because there be winds that are created for vengeance. He's holding back his wrath. And in their fury, lay on their scourges heavily. In the time of consumption, they pour out their strength and shall appease the wrath of him that made them. Fire and hail and famine and death, all these are created for vengeance. Teeth of wild beasts and scorpions and adders, and a sword punishing the ungodly to destruction. They shall rejoice in his commandment and shall be made ready upon earth when need is. And in their seasons, they shall not transgress his word. Therefore, from the beginning, I was resolved and I thought this and left it in writing. All the works of Yahweh are good, and he will supply every need in its season. So if there's anything that you need, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, when it's time, he's going to get to you. That's what he's saying. But as we start to move into the season, as my brother reminded us last night, are we making preparations for our plantings? Do we have in mind from now how we want our yards to look, our gardens to look? Do we have that in mind from right now? Because now is the time to have a plan for it. Now is the time to make the preparations for it. That's what the winter is. It's the time to get ready. And now think about why he even has us go through an agricultural season. Why it's a first fruit all the way down to the final harvest. Why? Because It takes time. If you see the seed that you are intending on planting, regardless of what size, of whether it's a big old mango seed or it's a little old sesame seed, at some point, once it's placed into the earth, it ain't just going to immediately sprout up. The same way blessings sometimes aren't immediately going to sprout up. Same way tribulations sometimes aren't going to immediately sprout. Same way the kingdom ain't going to come immediately. It's got to go through its time. 39:33 again. All the works of Yahweh are good, and he will supply every need in its season. And none can say, this is worse than that, for they shall all be well approved in their season. And now with all your heart and mouth, sing you praises and bless. Baruch atah Shem Yahweh. Bless the name of Yahweh. 1 Esdras, still in the Apocrypha family. First Esdras, second chapter. I think I may be wrong about that. I think it's 2 Esdras I want. 2 Esdras is 2 Esdras, the second chapter family, not 1 Esdras. Thus says Yahweh, I brought this people out of bondage. And I gave them my commandments by my servants the prophets, whom they would not hear, but set my counsels at nothing. The mother that bare them says to them, go your way, O my children, for I am a widow and forsaken. I brought you up with gladness, and with sorrow and heaviness have I lost you. For you have sinned before Yahweh Elohim, and done that which is evil before me. But what shall I now do to you? For I am a widow and forsaken. Go your way, O my children, and ask mercy of Yahweh. As for me, O Father, I call upon you for a witness over the mother of these children, because they would not keep my covenant, that you bring them to confusion and their mother to a plunder, that there may be no offspring of them. Let them be scattered abroad among the heathen. Let their names be blotted out of the earth, for they have despised my covenant. Woe to you, Asher, you that hide the unrighteous with you. O you wicked nation, remember what I did to Sodom and Gomorrah, whose land lies in clods of pitch and heaps of ashes. Even so, I will also do those things who have not listened to me, says Yahweh Almighty. Thus says Yahweh to Esdras, tell my people that I will give them the kingdom of Jerusalem, which I would have given to Israel. I will also take their glory, me, and give these the everlasting tabernacles which I have prepared for them. They shall have the tree of life for an ointment of sweet savor. They shall neither labor nor be weary. Ask, and you shall receive. Pray for a few days to you, that they may be shortened. The kingdom is already prepared for you. Watch. Take heaven and earth to witness. Take them to witness. For I have given up the evil and created the good. For I live, says Yahweh. Mother, embrace your children. I will bring them out with gladness like a dove. Establish their feet, for I have chosen you, says Yahweh. And I will raise those who are dead up again from their places. And then we just read about the valley of dry bones. And he said, I'm going to open up your graves. 2:16. I will raise those who are dead again from their places and bring them out from their tombs, for I have known my name in them. For I have known my name in them. Yahweh knows that he has placed his name within you. And if you believe in his name, he knows you. Rest in the blessing of that. And I know it's hard sometimes. I know it's hard sometimes. So I'm being reminded. When I read these scriptures, I'm being reminded. Your brother, Ahab El, I need to know these things because my mind goes through a lot. My emotions go through a lot. My spirit goes through a lot. Forgive me, I need a drink. I need this water. Sorry about that, family. Don't be afraid, 2 Esdras 2:17. Don't be afraid, you mother of the children, for I have chosen you, says Yahweh. For your help I will send my servants, Isaiah and Jeremiah. after whose counsel I have sanctified and prepared for you 12 trees laden with various fruits, and as many springs flowing with milk and honey, and 7 mighty mountains whereupon there grow roses and lilies, whereby I will fill your children with joy. Do right to the widow, judge the fatherless, give to the poor, defend the orphan, clothe the naked, heal the broken and the weak. Laugh not at a lame man to scorn. Defend the maimed, and let the blind man come to the sight of my glory. And keep the old and young within your walls. Wherever you find the dead, set a sign upon them and commit them to the grave, and I will give you the first place in my resurrection. Hold up. So y'all see. 2:24, I'm not going to go off on a tangent. Abide still, O my people, and take your rest, for your quietness shall come. Nourish your children, O you good nurse, and establish their feet. As for the servants whom I have given you, there shall not one of them perish, for I will require them from among your number. Be not careful over much, for when the day of tribulation and anguish comes, others shall weep and be sorrowful, but you shall be merry and have abundance. The nation shall envy you, but they shall be able to do nothing against you, says Yahweh. My hands shall cover you. Like Allstate, you're in good hands with Allstate. You see where they straightjacked that from? My hands shall cover you so that your children see not hell. Be joyful, O you mother, with your children, for I will deliver you, says Yahweh. Remember your children that sleep, for I shall bring them out of the secret places of the earth and show mercy to them, for I am merciful, says Yahweh Almighty. Embrace your children until I come and proclaim mercy to them, for my wells run over and my graces shall not fail. I, Esdras, received a charge from Yahweh upon the Mount Horeb that I should go to Israel. But when I came to them, they would none of me, and rejected the commandment of Yahweh. And therefore I say to you, O you nations that hear and understand, look for your shepherd. He shall give you everlasting rest, for he is near at hand, that shall come in the end of the world. Be ready for the rewards, be ready to the rewards of the kingdom, for the everlasting light shall shine upon you forevermore. Flee the shadow of this world. Flee the shadow of this world. Receive the joyfulness of your glory. I call to witness my Savior openly. Oh, receive that which is given you of Yahweh and be joyful, giving thanks to him that has called you to heavenly kingdoms. Arise up and stand and behold the number of those that be sealed in the feast of Yahweh. My brother talked about the feast coming up last night, family. That's our seal. And he talked about the particulars of the feast. Did he not? I looked for my brother this week. I couldn't find him. I was told he was at a particular post. Couldn't find him. Went down there. Couldn't find him. So I can't say we got together and we talked about this, because I seen Mara'al, I seen Ahabal, but I couldn't find Yara'al this week. And I looked for my brother. I love to see my brother at work. All my brothers. I couldn't find him. But I see now why. Because Yahweh knew what he was doing. He knew he wanted him to talk about something. He knew he wanted me to talk about something. And so that we can't say that we got together and we talked about the word. But isn't that what the brother talked about last night? The feast? Getting ready for the upcoming feast? Getting your mind ready? As he gave up his testimony? Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Esdras 2:39. Those who withdrew them from the shadow of the world have received glorious garments of Yahweh. Look upon your number, O Zion, and make up the reckoning of those of your that are clothed in white, which have fulfilled the Torah of Yahweh. The number of your children whom you long for is fulfilled. Beseech the power of Yahweh, that your people which have been called from the beginning may be high. Remember what Yahweh taught us? Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim. From the beginning, names were called out of the wilderness for his word. Isn't that what he taught us? That's the way you can look at all five books of the Torah. But isn't that what he said? The number of your children whom you long for is fulfilled. Beseech the power of Yahweh that your people which have been called from the beginning may be hallowed. I, Ezra, saw upon Mount Zion a great multitude whom I could not number, and they all praised Yahweh with songs. And in the midst of them, there was a young man of a high stature, taller than all the rest. My brother always has dreams about this man with a tall stature, taller than all the rest. And upon every one of their heads, he set crowns and was more exalted, whereat I marveled greatly. So I asked the angel, 244, and said, what are these, my Lord? And he answered, he said to me, these be those who have put off the mortal clothing and put on the immortal and have confessed the name of Yahweh. Now are they crowned and receive palms. Then said I to the angels, 246, what young man is he that sets crowns upon them and gives them palms in their hands? So he answered and said to me, it is the Son of Yah, whom they have confessed in the world. Then began I greatly to command those who stood so stiffly for the name of Yahweh. Then the angel said to me, go your way and tell my people what manner of things and how great and wondrous Yahweh Elohim you have seen. Final scriptures. And got this from a brother this morning after he shared his dream. Amos 9:11. In that day I will raise up the tent of Dawid, who is fallen, and close up its branches, and will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the nations who are called by my name, says Yahweh, who does this. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the one treading grapes, him who sows seed, and sweet wine will drip from the mountains and flow from the hills. I will bring my people, Israel, back from captivity, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. And they will plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they will no more be plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, says Yahweh your Elohim. And family, that ends my Torah portion and my 6 weeks, family. And I pray that I was a worthy vessel, that my family, my brothers and sisters were able to gain something from what Yahweh was trying to tell us. We started off learning that we are a weapon. Don't forget that you are a weapon and you are being weaponized, and that Abba has a purpose for you, and that purpose is to destroy this wicked kingdom and be prepared to take rule in the kingdom to come. And one other thing before I close out. In reading in the book of Ezra, where it says that it stood on its feet exceedingly great armies, one of the things, that word is translated as armies, but it is also actually a weapon that is being used to bore a hole into this kingdom. So, family, be weaponized. Be weaponized in that word. Be ready to go forth to war in the word as his battle axe, as his weapon. Keep your sword sharp. Keep your buckler polished and ready as we proceed forth and as we start to embark upon this book of Revelations, family. I ask that you open the mind of the teacher today, that you open our mind so that we can be receptive of that word, so that we can be prepared for the things that are yet still to come, as we can see me and my brothers were talking. Everybody think we ain't at war. We at war. It ain't got to that hot war part in this nation, but the moment you side with the enemy or the or take a side with anybody by supplying weapons or doing whatever, you've aligned yourself. You've already involved yourself in the war. If you don't want to be involved in a fight with somebody, you don't take sides. You stay neutral. You try to break up the fight. But the moment you step in on the side of either one, you've involved yourself in a fight. Now you're fighting too. So anyway, Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the Universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills. All of those words are true and righteous. The trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are a mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King, Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Toda Rabbah, Abba Yah. For the blessing of life is day, Father, thank you for allowing us to be used, Father, for your goodness, for your will, Father. I pray for my brother who is coming forth next to bring forth your word to finish off the Shabbat day, Father. I ask, Father, if there's any affliction that any of my brothers or sisters are suffering, Father, that they bring it forth through confession and that we come together, Father, as the mighty sons and daughters of Yahweh, Father, and that we lift up the person who wants it in prayer, Father. I pray that you heal us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically, Father, that you prepare us emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, Father, for what we are going to face eventually in this world, Father. Father, I pray that we prepare our minds, that we prepare our hearts, that we keep our eyes set towards you, Father, and that our ears are inclined to listen to you, Father, as your ears are inclined to listen to us when we cry out to you, Father. I ask these things, Father, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Shalom.
Sit back and stay. Remember my ways. Oh, you like it out of my cage. Yes, I am a slave. Searching for some freedom. Searching for some freedom. So I'm tender. Sing them songs to spark memory. What is a man with no history? Where am I? Who am I? What is this place? We're just spinning in space. I will be light.
Oh, yo, 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 yo.
What did you do? Who do you love beside you, many times in the name of vanity, many times in their mind, I put justice, we died for you, and still do, so I say to you, this is nothing new. Shine, shine, burn away the darkness, you got one.